With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Recording in progress.
That's yeah. Right. We record these podcasts for the listeners, but also for the watchers.
Let me tell you. No, that's not a... I was going to tell a story, but it's actually a real gross story. I shouldn't tell it.
Wow. How was your day, AJ?
Well, it was kind of impeded by the gross story I don't want to tell. No. Let's just say I had a bout at about 3 a.m. A couple of things that happen when you've maybe eaten something bad or had, perhaps in my case, a single margarita might have been what did it.
Oh, really?
Used to have a stomach of steel. Now I wake up in the worst pain of my life.
Of bloody aluminium.
Yeah, so that was an interesting day.
Nice. I had a very busy day. I was working today. We were supposed to record 6 podcasts today.
And we're going to
planned out this marathon
not do
thing.
That.
we're now doing 3 at the moment. This is the first one. So you are getting us at our freshest. If you want to hear some of the other ones, you can go over to patreon.com and subscribe there. We're going to be recording some stuff for there that it's long overdue at this point. But yeah, I got caught out in the rain a lot. My hair is an absolute state. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll be able to see.
Look at my hair. The blonde's gone.
Yeah,
the
you don't have any.
The blonde days are over. What else? I ran into your sister today.
Yes. Tell me that story.
My flatmate worked at a costume hire store, and I had the day off work today, and I went to go hang out. And was just sitting behind the counter, and then your sister walked up and was like, AJ? And I was like, oh, hey! And spent... she doesn't listen. She doesn't listen to this. Probably about 2 minutes into the conversation, my brain went, fuck, what is it? It's Emily. She said she doesn't listen anymore, so hopefully she won't hear
that. Did you say that at the time?
Yeah.
That's so funny. She's going to be like, you know what, after the interaction, I'll listen to the next episode. That's out. AJ, I have something that I want to ask. I want to get your opinion on this, because you're more susceptible to societal norms than I.
Susceptible, as in... Yeah.
You fall for them.
You reckon?
I think so, yeah. Like,
I reckon you have less pride than I do for societal norms. I reckon you're more likely to be like, yeah, whatever, that's the done thing, and I'm more likely to be like, I'm too cool.
You'll be like,
dabbing.
I'm going to say a word that's never been said before. just so I feel unique. Like, you know, Garden State. Yeah. No, I think that, you know, you would be more likely to... there's an uncomfortable interaction, you know, you would be more willing to just do the done. Anyway, what I'm asking is, and I'd love to get your opinion on this, because I don't like when people thank me for something that I was forced to do.
It doesn't happen to me very often.
So, like, it happens to me all the time. It's a hypothetical scenario. If you had said to me, Richard, I know I was supposed to run the Antoine Duanel, which I just found out is the pronunciation of his
Duanel.
Name. A bit more cheese messaged me about it. But I think it's a bit more cheese, yeah. Anyway, messaged me about this.
A bit more fromage, I think, yes. At this point on the day.
And yes, yeah, so say, AJ, you came to me and said, hey, you're supposed to be running it, but I'm so swamped. Either you run it or the episode's not happening. And it's like, well, okay.
And just to be clear for listeners and watchers, this hasn't happened yet, but it could.
and so it's like, well, you've put me in this corner. I have to do it. And then afterwards, if you go, thanks for doing that. It's like, well, I didn't do it to be kind. I did it because you forced me to.
Well, I would also think, though, Richard, that the good thing about being friends with me is I'm often so unappreciative. Like, I probably wouldn't thank you for that afterwards. That's true.
But it's this interesting thing, and I was thinking about it today, because I people do say, oh, thank you for doing that, and it's like, well, you didn't give me a choice, so what's the... Yeah. What are you gaining out of thanking me? But I think because, and this is a boomers versus millennials argument, that boomers don't like, generalizing here, when millennials or Gen Z say no worries to thank you. Right. Because, you know, as a millennial, we're just sort of like, oh yeah, it's just the done thing. Like, yeah, of course I would help you out. You're like, no worries. It's literally no worries to me. Whereas boomers like, no, you're supposed to say you're welcome, because yes, I did do this thing. And I think maybe it's like I'm becoming a boomer and being like, and because my only programmed response to thank you is no worries. And what I'm telling you is, this was annoying to me, but I was forced to do it. But because in my mind, I guess I think that thank you's only response is no worries, but I should start saying you're welcome.
Right. Well, you do have a lot of boomer qualities. I've often regarded you as sort of like a sleeper agent. Like, you have the sort of societal values and same desires as your fellow millennials, but you're willing to use the boomers' weapons against them.
Like what?
You get delivered wrong food at a restaurant, you'll very sternly send it back. And I don't know a lot of people who would do that.
It doesn't.
When we were flatting together,
yeah.
We had a shitty landlord who you were like, AJ, let me do it. And I was like, okay. And you like, you know.
I think that's just my, and maybe this is more of a, maybe I think you're wrong, and this is more of a Gen Z thing, because Gen Zs, they fucking love being activists for anything. I think I have a strong sense of justice. That's how I would refer to that. But
boomers think that as well, but their version of justice is boys shouldn't wear girls' clothes.
They're right. They wouldn't call them girls' clothes if they were meant for boys. But no, the things like sending, because there's you and I both don't like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. There's the classic scene in that film where Steve Martin's character goes off at this person at the car rental place, and it's like John Hughes fought to keep that scene in the film. It got an R rating because there's like so many F-bombs in this one scene, but nothing else about the film is R rated. And people are like, yeah, he made the right choice. This is a classic scene. But it's like that scene has aged out of being funny, because the joke of that scene is he's being rude to someone in customer service. And it's like, you could say, okay, but by the end of the scene, the punch, he's the butt of that joke because he doesn't get his way. But I maintain I'm not rude to customer service people. People have accused me of it, and it's like I will express my, you know, issues, whatever, but I don't think I cross the line into rude unless they do first, and then fucking all hell breaks loose. If a customer service person is rude to me, it's like, you better fucking buckle up, son.
Yeah, or a close friend you've known for, we recently learned 10 years we've known each other the other day, over 10 years now.
Sending food back in a restaurant, I didn't know Jess very well. It was her 22nd birthday. We'd been on a couple of dates, sort of thing, but she invited me, and, you know, like, in the time since then, we're like, I probably shouldn't have, like, you know, we weren't close enough, but I ordered some fish dish, And they came out with one of those like full snapper things, which was like on the menu, was quite similar in name to what I had ordered. But I had a comedy gig later that night, so I was in a bit of a rush. And I remember like not sending it back because they're like, who ordered this? And it's like, no one. And then people are like, ooh, like who the fuck ordered that entire snapper? And I was like, yeah, I think that's mine. Like, and so that's a story of how I was a brave little boy and didn't send back the snapper. It was, to tell you what, it was bloody nice.
That's good. Well, that's everyone won then in the end. Well, hey, speaking of bloody nice, we got a bloody nice show for the listeners and viewers, because that's right, this is an episode of Meeting of the Elders, which we record our Zoom calls for, so that if you would like to, you can watch the video version of the episode of the podcast. And this is our monthly episode that's sort of, it's effectively like a prestige fan mail episode, where if you are part of the Cult Elders tier over at patreon.com/cultpopshire, you get the opportunity to either send us a written or recorded message on your thoughts on the previous three episodes of the show, of the Cult Popshire podcast. So today we're going to be going through the listeners' thoughts on Ip Man, film franchise fights, and the Maze Runner franchise. And of course, if you want to get involved, head over to Cult Popshire's Patreon, patreon.com/cultpopshire, and sign up to the Cult Elders tier, and you'll be admitted into a secret Discord room where we give you the opportunity to write, or you can email. I guess you could just email your messages in anyway, but we won't play them unless you're also paying. So yeah, I thought what we could do today, we could go through all the written messages first, and then end on all the recorded messages as a treat. Yep. So the first message we're going to look at today is from Fromage on Cult Elders, who has these following thoughts on Ip Man. Are we ready? I'll read this one. Okay. Fromage says, watched these all recently and enjoyed them all. I really like how the wire work is used sparingly. You don't have people flying through the air or running on walls, but it makes the fights more fun and engaging. The choreography in the fights is incredible. The I will fight 10 of your men moment in the first is great. The second one had a good mix of group and one-on-one fights. You guys talked about Ip Man never getting beat up, but the box actually fucks him up. That's probably true. Three had some great big fight scenes, like when they rescue the kids at the docks and the fight between Ip Man and Z-Man ruled. Four was interesting, but basically repeated old storylines. But again, Ip Man gets fucked up and at the end. Z-Man is my favorite. I don't think it's called Master Z, not Z-Man. Just a small correction there. Is my favorite. It's centered around the most interesting man in the series. This man fighting for his son, caught up on the underground, etc. Z-Man has the best fights, and Yo and Batista, it is the best. Fromage's ranking is Z3241. Wow, you put one right at the bottom. Wow. I would probably go Z1234. I reckon that's what I would do. Another interesting thing is how much this series feels like propaganda. I know this is silly coming from an American, but it just made me think about it. The way it idolizes Ip Man and shows him as this national hero and reinforces a country's belief. I just found it similar to the American war movies that glorify soldiers. I don't think that makes them bad movies or anything, but it's easy to see how much it valorizes Chinese beliefs. Very true. I often think about Olympus Has Fallen, another franchise we've done, and how
I'm
that
always
movie
think about Olympus Has Fallen.
And that movie ends with President Aaron Eckhart being like, "God bless America," and how sincere that is, and how weird that is to see in a movie fronted by an Irishman doing his little American accent. I was just thought that was kind of weird, and I agree. I think that especially finding out the truth about like Ip Man, you know, being kind of like, and you find this is true of any historical icon. They've often got, you know, skeletons in their closets. So yeah, what do you think? I think I think it's funny that Fromage mentions the wire work is used sparingly, because maybe it is, but when I think of the funniest thing about those movies, it's people going into these graceful gliding jump kicks that clearly a human being can't do without wire work.
Not for it, man, though.
No, of course.
He did it all, for real.
Well, according to these movies, they've told me that he was an incredible person. Kind as well as heroic.
Mm. Fromage went on to say, film franchise fights is a good idea for a game. Maybe we should try playing it in the Discord. Yes, once the rules are finalised.
Yeah, yeah, the rules, which we've never said when they will or won't be finalised.
it would just be next time we run out of it. Well, next time it's your turn to come up with an idea for an offering. Oh, let's do that one again.
They won't be for a while.
Maze Runner is shit that I'll never watch, but glad you did so I could hear about it. Can't wait to hear the Dwanal episode.
Dwanal. Doinal, we called him. You Doinal. Said Doinal last week, last episode, and in my head I was like, ah, fuck, that's so not.
Yeah, yeah, I thought pronounced. That. It was in my head as well. I thought that.
A French guy named Doinal. That can't be right.
Doinel. Antoine Doinel. So the 400 Blisses has a massive spoiler marked message that says, I guess I should throw something together. So here it is. Bear in mind that this is all a bit, because later on someone said, in reply to this, I don't think you get to boss them people around just because you give them money. So 400 Blisses
which
has said,
is truth and not truth. I think there's an element of bossing around. I think that's part of the
it depends
allure.
where your heart is.
Yeah, like, that's true. Like, you can't make us say slurs. I will never say one. Comedically, it would be funny for me to now say but yeah. Not worth it for the social repercussions.
I'm gonna bleep that so it sounds like you said a slur.
Okay. As long as you leave that unbleeped.
Please read in your best Jersey accent, or if you can't do Jersey, do Boston. If you can't do Boston, do Psy Texas. My B reel has just gone off, so I will quickly do that.
Shall I take the first paragraph in?
No, I can do it. You did the last one.
Okay. It would have been a great way to kill the dead air that happens because you're doing your.
No, I didn't like that once as well, so I'm gonna redo it. I thought I looked hideous. I'm gonna take a photo of my red wine glass.
You?
There we go. That can be on the thumbnail.
Okay.
Hey, yeah. What do you think of New Jersey accent?
What do I think of it? Yeah, I don't know if I could recall it off the top of my head.
Because I mean, New Jersey is like
New Jersey.
And don't come out after me if this isn't technically correct. But I what's her name? Aunt May, and
Aunt May. Her name's Aunt May.
No,
Marissa Tomei.
Marissa Tomei. And My Cousin Vinny. That's like the classic, I think. But I'm going to try Boston. I'm going to use my like key phrase to get into that, which is...
Wait, sorry, just before you do, which one is the little poodle and cat dog? Because that's
cat dog! Cat dog! Why are you on it?
I could do it in that voice.
Poodle. Shriek Dubois.
Shriek. Oh, God.
So, I'll transition into my Boston accent. I'm not a corp.
Okay.
Well, I'll be honest. I was going to have my dear sweet old mother tell me her thoughts on the Hunger Games, but wouldn't you know it, I didn't even bother to ask her. What kind of potbelly crocodile am I? A foolish one, I'll tell you what. And then in brackets, don't stop the accent. Keep going, my dudes. Anyways, I may have said this before, I may have meant to share this before, but my dear sweet mother recently told me that the most disturbing film she ever did see, that's right, The Hunger Games. Switch who is reading, please continue the accent.
This mother of mine... Okay, now switch
there's,
back
there's
to the
There's one more word you left off there.
Oh, this mother of mine is...
Okay, now switch back to the first guy. A straight off fool. This woman's seen Blue Velvet, and somehow Hunger Games is the most disturbing film she's ever seen. Excuse me, Waza Boozable. Excuse me, Wazi Blue Play. Gentlemen, please, I beg of you, please tell me your thoughts on this. She doesn't listen to this podcast, so please feel free to be harsh. Or don't be harsh. I wouldn't want my dear sweet mother to have a heart attack. She probably won't, though. Please explain your thoughts here, if you please. I think that... please rate my Bostonian accent in the Discord. But I do... It's interesting. I think there's something else happened recently with this where I think a lot changes about your perspective of things when you become a parent. And there's a lot of stuff like this where it's like, oh my God, I can't believe this person thinks this thing. It's like, well, a parent watching a film about a young girl being sent to fight in an arena to the death with people in the age range, possibly that her kid was when she watched this movie. I think it's going to, that's going to be such a more disturbing thought than, you know, to us, we're like fucking sick. Like that'd be, I would take everyone down.
Yeah. Right. Right. Of course. Yeah. I think it's just something to me, it tells me that your mother, she don't take movies very seriously, because that sounds like something someone would just say if they're more of like a casual when it comes to movies and doesn't really.
Bliss does say she's seen Blue Velvet, though.
That's true. That is quite the contradiction. But I guess in saying one is more disturbing than the other, that feels more like she just happened to catch Blue Velvet in her life. And
I do think that... I think that there's maybe Bliss, your mum's got some demons that you don't know about that you know, that the Hunger Games triggered. And so, you know, it's a very interesting perspective to say the Hunger Games is the most disturbing film you've ever seen, but at the same time, you know, we don't know everyone's stories. So you know, just because someone has a different experience to you, They might have some demons in their closet.
What's the most disturbing movie you've ever seen?
Catching Fire.
Bliss moves on, says you
can do
it.
Genuine, asking you as well, what's yours?
I reckon it was when I was a teenager, so I might think it's not disturbing now, but I saw Hostel when I was like maybe 15, and I like disturbing to the point where I was like, I don't even like this. I mean, I guess genuinely the answer is probably Salo, but I think Salo's a good movie.
Yeah, but I actually quite liked it.
Yeah. Moving on to Bliss has spelt it IP Man. It's not me saying it, but they've said, I think that's... moving on to IP Man. I know nothing about it. Oh, we're still doing the accents. Moving on to IP Man. I know nothing about it. What are you going to do? Tony Soprano. I've been watching The Sopranos. That's the New Jersey accent. I should be great as. How about I shove Ip Man up your fucking ass, Bliss? moving on to film franchise Fortnite. I hope you guys have seen the multitude of effect cards.
For the record, just so
cards.
The listeners know this, Bliss has given AJ the option to stop the accent here. And
you got
a
turn.
He is choosing to not drop it.
Moving on to film franchise fights, I hope you guys have seen the multitude of effect cards I have made themed around the podcast. I intend to keep making them until it's turning into Rocket Raccoon, not so much Tony Soprano.
I didn't get Rocket Raccoon from that, DJ.
What's your Rocket Raccoon? You read the rest as Rocket Raccoon from I Intend. God, there's a TikTok voice based around
this. Yeah,
that should be...
I intend. That was good.
That was great. Good job.
I intend to keep making them until there are 100. Yes, they are there if you ever want them. But if you don't, that's okay. Print them out, put them in a binder, and then resell them 25-ish years later for thousands more. Anyways, thanks for reading my thoughts. You, and if you can say this next part together, that would be swell.
Heathenistic
schmuckerinos.
I have a couple of thoughts on your...
I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
If If I said to you, well, imagine when we're living together, when we were on Patterson Street, and mm-hmm. there was that dairy where I got the really dry sausage roll that one time. if I was here, do you remember when I got the dry sausage roll?
No, I don't even remember the dairy.
It was like you would go to the end of the street, it was left, and then and there was a poster for Bad Santa 2 outside it for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Still there to this day.
If I said, AJ, I'm going to pick up some Schmuckerinos. Mm. What flavor would you want me to get for you?
Is there an actual answer or am I?
No, it's a hypothetical.
Okay, I would say get me strawberry flavored Schmuckerinos.
Interesting. What do you? Why strawberry? What in your mind? What is a Schmuckerino? Because I just like made it up. You fucking idiot.
It's like a you know the American peanut butter and jelly brand Schmuckers.
Mm.
I'm thinking it's like a like candy form of that.
Right, yeah. So is it strawberry and peanut butter?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, oh yeah.
I had a PB&J for maybe the first time the other day.
Really?
I was high on the illegal drug. That'd be the best marijuana time to have it. And I was like, I've never had one, I'm gonna have one. It was all right. It's pretty good.
Yeah. With actual J or did you use jam?
Raspberry.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Free jam.
Well, that's not the same, is it?
Right.
That's when Jess and I, our first night in the States, we went out to, I think we had, what's it called, Shake Shack for like a late lunch. We got there about 1 p.m. and we had Shake Shack maybe 5 p.m. And then on the way home, we passed by a Ralph's, which is a supermarket over there. And we bought Wonder Bread because I really wanted to try it, and peanut butter and actual, you know, American jelly. And we made PB&Js in bed and watched Practical Jokers.
I reckon jam's probably better than jelly, though, right?
Do you know what jam and jelly, what the difference is?
I can... You tell me. Well, I've heard it before. You said you can, I can't remember.
Well, let's start. Preserves are entire fruit, like boiled and, you know, candy. Well, not candy, but sugar added and stuff. Jam is like mashed fruit gone through that process. And then jelly is fruit juice gone through that process.
Right. Okay. So, Bliss, for those not caught up, Bliss really took film franchise fights and ran with it, and has been posting a lot of what they've called unofficial event cards, unofficial merch. And I'll say, I have a couple of thoughts on this. First of all, great job, and keep making them.
But secondly, you suck and stop.
No, I think I would say that the thing you've invented, Bliss, to me is just enough different to be a different game to me, because I think you have made cards like where can we find them? They're like, in one of the scushies. Okay, so I'm clicking on a random one of these cards. It's a Hunger Games one. It says, Mockingjay, each player makes the other do an impression of one of their characters. Whichever character's impression was worse dies. Which is a great... That's funny. I like that. Mm. But I would say that, to me, part of what makes film franchise fight, the best part of it is making this up, this kind of stuff up as you go, and sort of a more of a role-playing game aspect.
Bliss can go back through, tweak some of the these, and I reckon this would be a fun drinking game or like a fun party game. Yeah. That you are at a party, you have this whole deck of cards, and yeah, I don't know, there's some mechanic that makes you pick them up, and it's things like that. Like, oh, do an impression of one of the players, and then whoever doesn't. run. Oh, I need to upgrade to
Can we
Zoom
do that without
Pro.
Stopping the recording?
Huh?
Can we do that without stopping the recording?
I don't know. I should just log. This is what we normally do. If this isn't showing up on the recording, we have 9 minutes and 40 seconds left in this recording on Zoom. And I have to upgrade to... We are pro on the Cult Popshire account, so maybe should put our thoughts on Bliss's cards to bed. We can log out, start a new record, and I'll log in as Cult Popshire.
All right. Well, the other thing I would say as well is I think, Bliss, you have a very specific voice that is great for your work. I would probably want to rewrite most of your cards so they're more in line with the Cult Popsherian brand voice. And also, I reckon we get custom art on these bad boys, so we don't have to pay anyone. Well, other than the artist to use, like they've got, he's done another one called Team Edward versus Team Jacob. When you play this card, choose Team Edward or Team Jacob, whichever team you choose, that character will join your team. The other characters will join the other player's team. So yeah, like I would probably get custom Edward and Jacob.
Well, I would just pick there. Team Charlie.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, you at home won't notice any sort of change here, but AJ and I have to do a little bit of admin just quickly. Don't bear with us because it'll be seamless. We're back, but we didn't leave for you. If you're watching this on YouTube, you will notice we have fun new names. I am now AJ, and AJ is Beauty Sleep, inexplicably.
That's the name of my PC. My PC is called Beauty Sleep.
Why?
My laptop is called... Power Nap, I think.
Nice.
I can't remember why. So the rest of the messages in Cult Elders is just people telling Bliss not to tell us what to do. So I think we could probably move on from that and play some of these voice messages that we've got now.
Mm-hmm. I've just loaded one up on Jamale. But that's
Which one are we listening to first?
I guess we'll do Vinny's first one, which is, I drink water, call me Sip Man.
Okay, let's listen to it.
All right, I'm just quickly... let me just download it rather than playing it in the thing, because that never works.
Oh,
and now I'm making a new folder, because I edit these, so I like download it to the edit folder that I...
That makes
use.
A lot of sense.
I don't want to open this in iTunes. I'm sorry, computer. I want this in VLC. So let me just switch my preferred opening method to VLC.
This is compelling stuff.
All right, thank you. I know. So here we are. I've got 3, 2, 1. I'm ready to go. That wasn't the actual. I can do 3, 2, 1. Ready to go. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm so confused.
Okay.
Yes.
3, 2, 1.
Sup, fuckers. Vinny here. So with Ip Man, I only watched the first one because I just didn't have time. Finals have come and I'm deep into papers. But watching it did remind me how when I was younger, me and a bunch of friends would just get together at a park and start shooting our own little martial arts segments on phones. Mind you, this was back when it was flip phones and Motorola Razr cameras we were dealing with. So glorious 144p footage of young us doing random backflips and kicking and doing very appropriate accents we were very allowed to do and in no way could cancel any of us. I did try to find one video that I know was on YouTube but is probably delisted, where it was a bunch of my friends, we made like this 15-minute story where it was a typical like, a kid getting bullied and then he does some training in the woods and then ultimately just beats up the bully in a very outrageous fashion, and I couldn't find it on YouTube and I stopped talking to the friend who directed it because he is a very big Trump supporter and believes the earth is flat.
Well, cool. Good on you. Did you make... How early were you making movies?
Like, later of any than description? I should have been.
Right. Because I've got similar stories to Vinny. Like, I was shooting like little web series when I was just starting high school, was when I first started like putting stuff on YouTube, you know, and I've, you know, on a shitty digital camera that my mum had brought. I remember we did a series when I was 14 called Amigos that was supposed to be like Jackass, but we were too scared to do anything that badass on it. And so it adapted. It went from trying to do stunts but not being good enough to like things like, I remember we had like a dry Weet-Bix eating competition on camera. I remember we bought
a tube.
Do you
want to explain what Weet-Bix is for our international
listeners? Weet-Bix is a very dry cereal that
it's
you're
like
supposed
a,
to have
a
with milk.
Giant one
brick.
One brick of wheat.
Yeah. And I remember that one was all right. There was another one where I got like a tube of wasabi and I applied it like war paint and it got in my eyes. It was all right.
That sounds so silly, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, dude. And then we made a couple of years later, we made a comedy sketch show called Good for a Giggle.
There's some good stuff in I was going to say it works better written down, the acronym of Good for a Giggle, because it is a problematic acronym.
Which was not intentional. Good for a Giggle. The title came from, we had an Australian friend and he showed us the opening to the Chopper Reed movie with Eric Banner. And when they're talking to Chopper on the news and they're like, people say you're violent. And he's like, who says that? And they're like, oh, this person. He's like, oh, he was just joking. Good for a Giggle anyhow. And we were like, that's the name of the show.
That's the name of the show.
And yeah, there's some good stuff at Good for a Giggle. It is all unlisted now because much like Vinny, this was a different time that we made this stuff in. Man. And not all of it is the most sensitive kind of stuff. But the stuff that was sensitive is... Well, okay, I'll give you one of my favorite sketches. One of my favorite pieces of writing that I've ever come up. It would make a great TikTok. Which was just one of us. It wasn't even me. It was another guy who's just standing in front of a blank wall and he goes... Fuck, and then a censored beep goes boop, and then he goes ark. That's a good joke. That's a good sketch. There's another one where we walked in and we walked into this garage and there's this little button for like this remote and I'm clicking and I was like, oh, the garage door's not closing. And then someone comes in and goes, what are you doing? It's like, oh, I was just trying to close the garage door. Oh my god, dude. That's the button to Dylan's death. That's great. The other one that we didn't film it well, but I think professionally done, this would be a great sketch, was one of the guys comes into the room where everyone's hanging out and goes, hey guys, I was on the news today. And then we cut to a news reporter reporting of some horrific crime that's happened, like going into these grim details, and in the background the guy runs in and starts doing that thing where people run into the background of news shots and wave around and do offensive gestures and stuff. I think that'd be a good sketch.
I had
if
a
it was
lot of that today. I was filming today and so many people think it's the funniest thing in the world to do that.
To be fair, it is the funniest thing in the world. Remember grab her by the pussy, fuck her in the pussy. Whatever that was. Remember that one? That was like took the world by storm. Everyone was doing it. Fuck her right in the pussy. That was it. Yeah.
A friend
it's
of mine
such
actually
specific
did
terminology
that.
For a thing to yell out. You know, it's not just general obscenity. It's a real specific way of phrasing that. Anyway.
Vinny also sent in another voice note. Keeping them brief this week. Very nice. This one's only a paltry minute 25. It's called Being a Maze Designer is a Dead End Job.
Let's listen to it.
3, 2, 1.
When it comes to the Maze Runner franchise, it came out at a time where I just didn't care about future dystopian novel adaptations. I saw the first Divergent movie and was like, well, I'm never getting any of that time back. Then I saw Maze Runner, was like, oh boy, here comes another dystopian future with some pretty teenagers to fight the establishment. The only time I've ever been in a maze was at this local ranch in Santa Clarita called Lombardi Ranch. It's this place where you usually just go and get your pumpkins in the fall. I was about 5 or 6, and they had like this small child maze made out of haystacks. So it was this like easy accessible thing where it was high enough for like a small child not to see the solution, but it was short enough to where the parent would just stand on the side and try and help him out. It was the only time I've ever been in a maze, and I thought about climbing over it and just saying, fuck this, I'm just going to climb over and solve it myself. And then all the other kids were yelling at me to get down because I was cheating and I didn't care. So I was the first one on the other side. So fuck all those other small kids. They did have larger cornfield maze that I was very excited to go to eventually. But by the time I was old enough to get to it, it had shut down because teenagers would get in the middle of it and start doing premarital relations in secluded parts of the maze. So they shut that down. Honestly, people, have some decency. Why do such things in public? Gross. Before marriage. Ugh. Kids these days.
Very good. Before you ever been in the maze?
That Vinny's thing did remind me of one thing, that it's like, why not just climb to the top of the maze?
Well, they explain that in the movie.
Well, I forgot about that.
They say that the vines don't go all the way to the top.
Well, they build ladders and shit. Anywho, have I ever been in a maze? Yes, I have.
Have you ever been in a maze?
Yes. Yep. I've been amazed a few times. Yeah. There's a few mazes around. Interestingly, what you, Vinny, talked about there, a corn maze. We call it maize here, M-A-I-Z-D. So we have, there's a lot of places around that are like, it's a maze. Maze.
Yeah.
And
the amazing maze and maze. Do you remember that one?
Yeah. So I've done one of those before, like when I was a kid. I remember there was like one where it had like four towers that sort of like overlooked the corners. So it's like if you were stuck, you could, you know, get to one of the corners, go up, and then get your bearings and then go back in. And yeah, there was that one. There's one in Hanmer Springs that's like a hidden temple sort of theme.
Right.
Key to a maze, though, if you walk in, it'll take you a while, but if you walk in, just put your hand on like the right wall, follow that, you'll get out. Like you'll be led into dead ends but back out of them again, and you'll
do it on the left wall as well.
Yeah, because there has to be a path.
You could switch between them probably as you're doing it,
but there has to be a path that follows that.
I've been, when I was 17, I went into the horror maze, which is something I don't think I would do now.
Fuck that, no. That
but I did when I was a teenager. And the only thing I remember about it was you get, at the end of the maze, you get chased out by one of the monsters. Mm. And I realized as we were getting chased out that I was running out into where the line was to enter. So there are all these people lining up, and they see people screaming, running out of the exit. And I thought, like, I'll put on a show. So I ran, as we're running out screaming, I like intentionally like stumbled over and fell to the ground.
He's
and, like,
trying to have sex with me!
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know what that refers to. That was such a
no, just like put it. You're like, I'll put on a show, and it's like the clown's a pedophile.
Oh, right.
Like that's your idea of like, I'll really scare them.
No, I like stumbled over to make it look more dramatic. It was good fun. But yeah, I like getting maze anecdotes. I like Vinny's like, Vinny doesn't seem to have a lot to say about the Maze Runner. So he's like, all right, what can I talk about to still get my voice on air?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, like, that's what we need.
Right, well, we've got one voice message here left from Dan from Hawaii.
Which for some reason doesn't even want to try and open. And I don't even know what app that wants itself to open in.
It's only 30 seconds long, Richard.
Oh my god. It's a good thing I did that whole fucking thing about thank you at the start. I was going to have nothing to talk about.
You ready?
Yes, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Dan from Hawaii here. I'm in a dentist's office, and I just want to say that I'm enjoying the podcast, but I'm falling very behind because why does the Scooby-Doo episode so long? I mean, I get it, but I just got to the Moon Knight joke re-explanation, and I am enjoying the ride. I'm sorry it's taking me so long to catch up, but hello from the dentist. I should say aloha from the dentist. And aloha also means goodbye.
Aloha almost also means goodbye would be a good like title for like a melancholy coming of age story set in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Write it, Dan. Write us that coming of age drama.
Coming of age drama. Dan's already written a melancholy coming of age drama, and I've
be even better at it then.
Yeah, well,
that's why
you got a second go at it now, Dan, because we've given you the title. I Dan didn't leave in there what dental work they were having done.
No, very curious.
What was the last dental work you had done, AJ?
Oh, we've talked about this. We're probably talking about this on Meeting of the Elders. Sure.
Well,
I feel like I've talked about this recently that I went in there because my teeth were like kind of sensitive, and I was like, God, I haven't been in 5 years. This was 3 years ago now. And I went in there being like, God, they're gonna tell me my teeth are horrible. The last time I went to the dentist, they told me I needed a root canal, but I just said no, sorry.
I'm not like, no, I'm still trying to get a root. that's slang for sex.
Thank you. And they were like, hey, your teeth are great. Your teeth look great. Which I was like, first of all, why did the other dentist want to give me a root canal so bad?
Because they cost a lot. Fine?
Yeah. But isn't capitalism, sorry, Richard, is can we both agree that that's pure evil then, right?
I think we can all agree dentists are pure evil.
And then they said, no, your teeth are fine. Just start using Sensodyne. Just rub that on your teeth if they get sensitive. But what we will do is we'll clean all the plaque that's kind of like barnacle encrusted on your teeth just at the gum line. And then they did that. And I'm sure I've talked about this before on the podcast, but it was the most painful thing I think I've felt that I can remember feeling was this, scraping the plaque off my gums. I was like, you needed to give me anesthetic. This is so painful.
I remember you saying that. It's like, they were like, oh, this might be a little bit uncomfortable. And they're like, there wasn't enough warning.
Yeah. I did not know how much that was going to hurt. But yeah, what about you? You went to the dentist recently, didn't you?
It was over a year ago now. Oh, but yeah, over a year ago now. But it was a big moment for me, and I'm very proud of myself.
Well, we also all of us here at the Elders, Meeting of the Elders. Richard, I'm okay with doing shorter Meeting of the Elders.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy episodes. To adjourn the meeting. I think we've gone through a lot of fun content. Let's reminisce on what we've talked about this episode. My hang-ups of thank you, of having thank you be said to me, and my coming to terms with the fact that maybe a simple you're welcome is what I'm after. Then it's later on, we heard from some of our elders who wrote in, who had me do a Bostonian accent. Fromage sent in his rankings of the Hitman franchise.
Look at this photograph. Two of our every time I do it makes me laugh.
They sent in audio clips to us, so one red. From the dentist and one
what the hell
from
is on Joey's head?
Do you know what the hell was on Joey's head?
A hat.
It's an ice bucket.
All right. Well, good night, everybody.
Stick around for the post-credits scene, though.
Sorry, stick around for the post-credits sequence and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And join the Patreon if you want to get in on this fantastic content. You too can send us voice messages from the dentist office. Welcome along to the post-credit scene. There's a segment at the end of each episode where if you donate $5 or more over at patreon.com/coldpopshire, you get to give us something to talk about in the post-credit scene. Richard, what is it and who's it from?
This one comes to us from Dan Connell, who we just heard from, who says,
I'm in the dentist office.
What film soundtracks do you listen to the most often? Is there any song that takes you out of a movie? There's a soundtrack, or specifically one song, I have been blasting on repeat for the last 48 hours, and that is Halle Bailey's version of Part of Your World from Little Mermaid 2023. I reckon that's probably going to be my most played song of the year at this point.
Wow.
It's the third song that I've been like obsessed with for a little bit of time, so it'd be between Oh Caroline by the 1975, Hit and Run by Auntie Donna, and Part of Your World by Halle.
And these all feature in the Little Mermaid live action remake.
But yeah, man, I mean, I can't give you my full thoughts just yet, but a social media reaction. Check out my social media for my reaction to The Little Mermaid 2023, because hot damn. And yeah, I mean, Halle Bailey, you watched the performance she did on American Idol at Disneyland. Fucking incredible. That woman is immensely talented.
So the soundtracks I've listened to, are we talking scores and soundtrack or just soundtracks?
I think we open up to scores as well.
I'd say the scores that I've listened to the most in my life aren't movie scores.
Yeah.
One of them's a movie score. When I was younger, I listened to the 28 Days Later score a lot. The In a Heartbeat. I just said that there is one movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So I listened to In a Heartbeat.
The one you're talking about.
Yeah. In a Heartbeat's a cool, that's the main one you're thinking of when you think of the music from
28 Days Later.
In a Heartbeat.
London was full of zombies. We had to shut down around Big Ben. And we filmed the scene at 4 a.m. That bit.
You're driving me to tears here because of how important that music is to me. I also listened to a lot of Michael Giacchino's Lost score when I was a teenager, so I'm pretty intimately familiar with that.
They're lost on an island. And
where?
They filmed 28 Days Later at 4 a.m. I think it was more like 5 a.m., I don't know, because the sun obviously had to be up. Between 5 and 6, I don't know. They shut down a whole series. It's crazy. It's crazy
it's
that they were able
stuff.
To do
Listen
that.
Listen to our 28 Days Later episode for more information.
There's smoke monsters and polar bears. They're both explained, but your friends will still complain that they don't know how they got there.
And the other big one I reckon that I listen to a lot I don't remember the artist, but the score for the point and click game Machinarium is a gorgeous little, like, sort of trancey electronica score that I'd highly recommend.
Point here, click there. You're in the Machinarium.
I am a robot.
I am a robot, Dr. Han.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.